Hashem, towards the bottom of Daf Ayin Hey Amit Beis in the Sechdes of Avodah Zarah. It's nine lines before the wide lines with the words of Yitzchak Bar Yosef. Zakti Yomar of Yitzchak Bar Yosef, of Yitzchak the son of Yosef, Zavin Mana de Mar de Meyavet Kechavim. He purchased a Mana de Mar de Meyavet Kechavim. This explains Rashi, is the type of a keli that is made out of a mixture of earth and manure from animals and cattle. So he thought that he has to tie, that he has to immerse it in a mikveh, as we have seen in yesterday's shiur, that there is a chiyuv when one purchases clay suda from an avikichavim. He has the obligation to immerse that in a kashra mikveh. Amalei Ahum and Abanan, so one of the Rabbanan, the Rabbi Yaakov Shemei, his name was Rabbi Yaakov, said, L'dedim efashli minei de Rabbi Yochanan, I heard clearly from Rabbi Yochanan that clay matchus amur in the pasha. The pasha discussing the concept that tefilas kelim is referring strictly to metal kelim. And Rashi explains, as we mentioned the pasuk yesterday, when Elazar HaKohen was telling Klal Yisrael about the concept of what to do with the kelim from the Midyanim, the pasuk says, Achis HaZov, Yes HaKosef, the gold, the silver, Es HaMechoshes, the copper, Es HaBazel, the iron, Es HaBedil, the Es HaOifaris, the tin and the lead. So we see that only metals are mentioned. And therefore, this keli, which is made out of earthenware and manure from animals, would not require any tefillah. Zakti Yomar Amar Avashi, and here is a shiloh that is very negative to us, Hani clay schuchias, kalim that are made out of glass, Hayel v'china shtabru yesh lahen takana, even though in a sense it is like earthenware, but still, it's different, because if it breaks, it's possible to fix it. If a glass kali breaks in half, it's possible to glue it together. Therefore, in this regard, k'klei matchis dami, it is compared to metallic kalim, and the male of there would be a chiyuv tefillah. We mentioned in yesterday's shiur that there is a big machlokes hashayim if the drashas over here bechlal about tefilas kelim aren't midiraisa or just midrabana. Rav Hashayim and Rav Paiskim nemon the tefilas kelim is a chiyuv midiraisa. However, from the Rambam it is mashma, and not everyone says that this is the Rambam shita, but it is mashma from the Rambam that the concept of tefilas kelim is only midrabana, and all of these drashas mentioned over here in the pasuk are strictly asmachtas. Now, of course, there are many nafkaminas if something is the raisa or the rabbana. One nafkamina, as it's mevuyah and shulchan aruch, is can I trust a katan, a minor, to go and be tevil kalim for me? The Taz says that being that the Rav Rishonim say tefilas kalim is the raisa, we cannot trust a katan for concepts that are made the raisa. Now, that is provided we are trusting the katan. If we know for a fact the katan tevil the keli and the gadol is standing there, hakol moedim b'demasav is the feish, that there is no problem with that tefilah. Now, Rabbi Kiva Egan, this is brought down in the Chedushim of Rabbi Kiva Egan, Shulchan Aruch, Yerodei Simon Kuvchav. He says that in regard to Tevil and Kleis Chuchias, a cotton would be believed. Even though a Gadol does not see him immerse the Kaeli, do the actual Tefillah, he would be believed. And Rabbi Kiva Egan explains that even though our Gemara compares Kleis Chuchias to Kli Matchus, that is only Midrabana. But even according to the Shita, says Rabbi Kiva Egan, that regular Tefillah's Kaelim is Diuraisa, and that is Klei Matchus Hakol Moedim, that the tefillah of Klei Schuchias is only Midrabanan. And being that it's only Midrabanan, we can trust the cotton. That is the halach. In regard to the Rabbanans, if it's B'yadei L'sakein, if it's possible for him to actually correct the situation, then he is trusted. Although, indeed, that is the opinion of Rav Achronim, that the tefillah of Klei Schuchias is Vadi only Midrabanan, it is the opinion of the Maimer Matchin, Arachayim Simon, Shinchav Gimel, that even Klei Schuchias has a chiyuv tefillah in the Raisa. Now, the Gemara in the Sechta Shabbos says that tefillah is not effective for klei schuchias if they are tamei, because Chazal rendered it just like a klei cheres, being that it is created from the sand, the same way klei cheres is. Memela, tefillah should not be effective. And there's a dialogue in the Gemara, if or if not, klei schuchias should be considered like klei cheres. And what's interesting is that the Ravashi in the Masechta Shabbos is the Man D'Yoma that insists over there that klei schuchias should have a din of klei cheres. Now, on the other hand, the Ravashi over here in the Masechta of Avodah Zarah says that klei schuchias has a din of klei matchis. The same way there's a chiyuv tefillah for new kelim in regard to klei matchus, there's a chiyuv tefillah for glass kelim. Many of the Shanim explain that Avashi is simply going lechumra in both situations. In regard to tum, he says it's not effective, it's like klei cheres, you can't be toivel it. In regard to the chiyuv tefillah for purchasing it from an ovid kechadim, there is a chiyuv tefillah. The fact remains that glass is sort of an in-between, between earthenware and matchus. In one way it's like earthenware, it comes from the sand. On the other hand, it's like matchus because you can put it back together if it cracks. So Memeila, we go lechumra in every respective situation. The Gra in Yerodei Simon Kuf Chaf Sifkat and Yotef disagrees with this teretz, and he has a mahalach of his own. But there's an interesting pshat from the Aruch HaShulchan. He explains why the Rashi, in regard to a keli that's tamei, says that tzuchias is like cheres, and why in regard to the chi of tefillah of new kelim says that glass is like matzah. He explains that the etzem, every metal, comes from the earth. It's all earthenware. Sometimes, however, because of the texture of the earth, and because of various processes through heat, so on and so on, metal is formed. And that is why it is only through heat that we can form and shape various clay matzahs. Earthenware, on the other hand, doesn't go through so much of a drastic change from its original form. It's sand, it's earth to start with, and after you're finished with it, it's still earth. It isn't really Poishet Tzura V'Loivish Tzura, as he explains it. Mamela, Klei Tzuchias is sort of stuck in the middle. On the one hand, it's made of earth, the same way earthenware is. On the other hand, Klei Matzchis comes from the type of earth which is textured for matzahs, because of various procedures, because of various natural phenomena, this earth can be converted into matzahs, and is converted into matzahs. So that's the argument to say that tzuchias should be like klei cheres. On the other hand, klei cheres doesn't change. Tzuchias does. The same way the matzahs has to go through drastic procedures from the time that it comes out of the earth until it's a utensil, so does klei tzuchias. So we have to go to chumrah. In regard to tum, however, there's a problem, because if there's a chumrah in either direction. If you say Klei Tzuchias has a din of Klei Cheres, there's a chumrah that tefillah is not effective to mitire it. On the other hand, if you say Klei Tzuchias has a din of Klei Matzchis, there's also a chumrah. Klei Matzchis becomes tummy from the outside of the keli. Klei Cheres does not. So it's not easy just to say in regard to the tummy that Klei Tzuchias, let's call the chumrah. It's chumrah in either direction. So there, as Ashi says, it basically, it comes from sand, we'll give it the chumrahs of Klei Cheres. Masha Enkin, in regard to us, where there are no chumras in either direction, if you say tzuchias has a din of klei cheres, that's clearly a kula, because there's no tefillah for klei cheres at all. If you say it has a din of klei matzchis, then it's a clear-cut chumra. So the nail over here, Rav Ashi goes, l'chumra. Zakti one of Aita, kunya. Kunya is the type of keli that is originally earthenware. Afterwards, however, it is coated with lead. So pli bar avacha v'ravina. Chad amr, one man de amr says, kibit chilasai. If it's klei cheres originally, then there's no chiyuv tefillah. If at the end it looks like a metallic keli, klei matzchis, then there is a chiyuv tefillah. The hilchos and the halacha is kisayfai. Rashi explains it was the derech to use this keli only for tzainin, only for cold liquids. We would understand that it was a common shaila because this type of a keli would very easily be purchased from Moiv Dekechabim. There is no problem about kashering them. The only shaila is, if or if not there is a chiyuv tefillah, the Gemara says there is. Now Taisus explains, being that the key factor in determining the chi of tefillah is the fact that it's a clay suit, as we have seen in yesterday's shir, utensils that are not clay suit that have no chi of tefillah, then it's the interior of the keli. If the inside of the keli was coated with matzchis, then would this clay chera suddenly have a din of clay matzchis? However, if it's just the outside of the keli that is coated with matzchis, but the interior, the inside of the keli where the food is, where the suda is, if that will remain cheres, clearly there will be no chi of tefillah. Now, there are a whole host of shitas in the Paiskim as to what the halacha would be in regard to these types of kelim and what the status of a bracha would be. Earthenware that is coated from the inside and the outside with a type of a metal, hakomoidim needs tefillah with a bracha. Although Taisus clearly makes a distinction between the inside or the outside, and as long as it's on the inside, there is a chiyuv tefillah, Taisus explains that the reason is because if it's on the inside, then it's the matzchis, which is the part of the keli, which is the klei suda. Now, the place can take this a step further, and they explain that any type of covering that is on a keli for the purpose of eating with the keli, for instance, if I have an earthenware pot where if I would pour hot soup in it, the hot soup would come right through the outside walls, and I line it with some type of a metal to keep the soup inside, that's called klei suda. Masha enkein, if the metal was put in strictly for the beauty of the keli, and it has no effect whatsoever as far as the hishtamshis of the keli is concerned, there are paiskim that are then mesaktik in the bracha. These halachas are discussed in Yerideya, Simon Kovchav, Sif Aleph, and there is a big machlokes between the Mechaber, the Rama, and the Nisei Kelim. Now, we explain the word kunyan, as Rashi explains it, that it's earthenware that is coated or lined with lead. From Taisus, however, in several places, and from the Arach, it is clear that what kunya is clay cheres that is lined with glass. So la locha, there's a great controversy in the Achronim. It is the opinion of the Yisr the Hatter that a keli that is coated with glass has the same halachas of a keli that is coated with matzchis. Those paiskim nemon, the opinion of Taisus and the Arach, that this kunya discussed by our Gemara is earthenware covered with glass. However, many Paiskim them on Rashi's pshat, that we're referring here not to clay cheres that is covered with glass, but clay cheres that is covered with matzis. Glass, then, without the basis of this gemara, would be a whole different concept altogether, especially according to the Paiskim that the whole tefillah of clay zchuchis is only the Rabbanan. And in addition, there are many Paiskim that are of the opinion that the concept of a clay cheres covered by matzis is only the Rabbanan. In that case, there would be no need to be machmir with two derabanans compiled one upon another, and that is the whole idea that it's just the klei cheres covered with the possible chi of dika item, and that chi of dika item is something which in itself only has a chi of tefillin derabanan. Now let us bear in mind that this shaila may pertain to several types of thermos bottles, which could possibly be made out of textures that have no chi of tefillin, but on the inside are coated with types of matches, types of glass that may have a chi of tefillin. So the Paiskim say, basically, in regard to Klei Cheres that are mitzupah with glass, even from both sides, that one should tovel them, but without a brach. Now the Gemara discusses a different shayli, Boyelahu. Meshkan Tamai, what is the halach in regard to a mashkin? And Eved Kichavim owes a yid money, so he puts up a pledge, he puts up collateral, which happens to be a keli. So Mai, what is the halach if the yid wants to use this keli? Does he have to tovel it? Amar Ma Ber Vashi. Abba, story once happened in regard to my father, that Mashkin Le'evet Kechavim Kisei De Kasper, there was this Le'evet Kechavim who owed him money, put up a pledge, he gave him as a Mashkin a silver cup, and the Adfilei V'ishte, my father first immersed it in a mikveh, he first tivled it, and only then would he drink from it. The problem is, V'le'yedana, I don't know why he did that. Imishin De Kasavar, is it because he is of the opinion that Meshkanta Kizvini Damye? Did he consider a mashkin to be the same as purchasing an item, and the mele is vada yechi of tefillah in all situations of mashkin, or imishim dechazi le'evet kichavim dedai tilashkuei, or because he noticed that this particular le'evet kichavim that loaned him the money had no intention of paying the money, and when he put up this mashkin, he realized that this mashkin was going to be his. However, had he known perhaps that the le'evet kichavim had intentions of redeeming it, in that case he would have not felt that there was a necessity to tivle it before he would use it. Taisus Paskins over here, the Sefer Sefer being that the Gemara stays with the Suffolk about the Mashkin, one should tovel a Kaili that is a Mashkin without a Bracha. Taisus does suggest that if he has several Kalim to be tovel, those that have a Chi of Midiraisa, he should make the Bracha on those and follow the Tefillah of those Kalim with the Tefillah of the Mashkin Kaili. Most Paskins are of the opinion that if a person purchases a Kaili from an Eved Kechavim on a trial basis, if a person purchases a utensil from a Goyish a shopkeeper with the condition that he may return it if he doesn't like it, in that case there would not be a chi of tefillah because the keli still belongs to the yakum and there is no kinyan for the yid whatsoever. The Daki Tshuva paskens that if a person purchases a keli from an Eved Kechavim on credit and didn't pay for it yet, their vaday is a chi of tefillah midiraisa, even though the yid did not pay for it yet, as long as the yakum trusts him. Other paskens, however, say that if there were no other kinyanim involved, just the kinyan of mice, and he didn't pay for it yet, he should not tovel it with a bracha. Now, the Tefillah Kalim Shaila that virtually all of us are faced with every year. Taisus by us over here says that if a yid takes his own keli and gives it as a present to an akum, and then decides to take it back, or the akum returns it to him as a present, or he sells his keli to an akum and then takes it back from the akum, there is a chi of tefillah. Even though this keli may have been yours for many, many years, if you gave it to the akum even for 1 minute, as long as you gave it to him with a kinyan and he was kind of it, when you take it back, there is a chi of tefillah. Therefore, there is a great controversy in the Paiskim about selling the chametzika kalim to the Yakum. When you go to the Rav to sell your chametz, if you have in mind to sell the chametzika kalim to the Yakum, in that case, after Pesach, there may just be a chi of tefillah kalim. It is for that reason that most of the shtaris dealing with mechiras chametz work out a nusach, whereas the person is just selling the bliyos in the kalim, the chametz in the kalim, but not the kalim themselves to the Yakum. In the Inhagetz of the Chazayin Ish that is printed at the end of the Sefer Imre Yaisha, there's a story there of how accidentally once the Nusach of the Shtar stated that the Kalim themselves were sold to the Akum, the Klei Chametz themselves, and the Chazayin Ish ordered that all of the Kalim of his household should be tivled after Pesach. Although there are a great many Paiskim, amongst them the Chasam Sefer, the Chayad, and the Gra, that seriously consider this an actual Chiyiv, although they suggested perhaps without a Bracha, there are many Paiskim, like the Eshel Avram, the Cheshik Shleima, and Shleima Kliga discusses this whole Shaila at great length in his Sefer Elif L'Chol Shleima, that feel that even though one does sell his Kalim to the Eved Kechavim on Pesach, there would not be a need for Tefillah when he takes them back. some of the svaris that we make on this is based on our tesis over here. Although our Gemara has a shiloh about a mashkin, when an akum gives a yid a keli as a mashkin, if or if not mishkantius kizvini, how come lighten that if it's the other way around, if it's the yid that owes the guy money, and the yid gives his own keli as a mashkin to the akum, when he gets that keli back, when he redeems that pledge, there will be no chiyuv tefillah. For that matter, although technically there is a concept of umen koine b'shvach keli, when a worker fixes a keli, until he is paid for his work, he has a kinyan haguf in that keli. If a yid gives his keli to an akum to be fixed, there would not be a chiyuv tefillah. And the reason explains Taisus, and the Rosh agrees, is because the keli was not nikra al shem ha'akum, being that the whole basis of tefillah's kelim is learned from the clay midyan, and over there it is termed clay midyan. Here it's not really termed the keli of the akum. Technically, it may be argued that it belongs to the akum, but the fact is it's not really considered, as far as people are concerned, the keli of the akum. Let us please take note that it is not the intention of this shiur to pass on anything lemaisa. We are merely discussing what is mevuyer in the Rishonim and the Achrayim. When a shaila does come up, there is, of course, the achrayus of everyone to consult their rav. Zakti mudavaita tana rabban. Halikeach klei tashmish min hu oiv de kechavim. If people purchase utensils from oiv de kechavim and it's dvarim shaloi nishtamish behen, this particular keli was never ever used by the oiv de kechavim. He made it but never used it. The only thing the yid has to do is to tovel the keli, and it is already tovel. No further kashering process is necessary. Dvarim shenishtamish behen oyde tzaynet, types of keli that the yakum used only with cold item. Kegain, for example, kaisais, cups, the kataniyais, different types of jugs, with sluchiyais, different types of larger jugs, which are strictly used with cold liquids. So madichan, he has to rinse them off. However, there is no need to kasher it or to torch it. Once he rinses it off, umatvilan, all he has to do is to table them, and again, the hain tahirin, they are tar. Dvarim shenishtamish ben oli dechanit, types of kalim that the akim used with hot water, for instance, cooking pots. And it makes no difference what size those pots are, kigon hayoyrois, large boiler type of pots, kumkamusit, different types of large vats that were used for cooking, or mechame chamit, different types of kettles that are used for boiling up water. Wherever you have something non-kosher cooked in a pot with the medium of hot water, the halacha is magilon, you have to kasher them with hot water, umatvilon, only then can you tovel it, v'hein tahirin, and afterwards, they are tar. Dvarim shenishtamish ben oidei ha'art, types of utensils that are used by the Yavit Kechavim directly on the fire, kigoyin hashpudin, like the types of spears that are used to broil meat with, or v'haskalois, and as explained previously, these are types of trays that were also used directly in the broiling process. The fire is cooking actually on this tray. Malavnon, over here, we have to have livon with the torch, and only afterwards, on the tevilon, can you be tovel them behind to hyren, and then will they become tar. Taisus explains, although the order as described over here is always the capturing process first, whatever it needs, if it's the rinsing, hagala, or libun, the lemaisa, that always comes before the tefillah, the seder is lav davka. If a person wants to, he can first be tovel the keli and then kasher it. And the reason is because the concept of this tefillah's kelim has absolutely nothing to do with the iser, with the bli of the treifus in the pot. The concept of tefillah's kelim is a deraisadika concept. It is a xeris akasif based on the transfer as it comes into the hands of kedusha. The keli needs a certain type of purification, and it has absolutely nothing to do with the iser. Memela, when you are tovel the keli, if it's before the kashering or afterwards, is irrelevant. The Ran, however, disagrees with Taisus, because the lashon of the Yishalmi is that the reason for tefillas keli is because yatsu mitumasim shalakim, and it's nechnasim l'kedushas Yisroel. So the Ran feels that it's mashma from the Yishalmi that there has to be first the complete removal from the tumas shalakim, and that includes the removing of the iser via the respective processes depending on what kind of a keli it is, either with the rinsing, kashering, or libun, and only then is the tefillah effective. And therefore, it is the opinion of the Ran that if a person tovels the keli before he kashes it, it's like tovel the sheretz biyadi, and the tefillah is ineffective. The Ravid says that it's mashma that way from the pasuk. The pasuk says tovel bi'esh, that refers to the kashering process, the libun, and only afterwards do we have the psukim of v'tayer or b'mei nida, which describe the tefillah. So in the pasuk we see the kashering before the tefillah. In the Barais over here, we see the kashering before the tefillah. The Mail of the Ravid also says that there is no shaila. It definitely is preferred first to kasher the keli and only then to be tovel the keli. However, the Ravid says that the diavad, if one kashers it before the tefillah, that should not be in the yak of the tefillah, and the tefillah should be effective. So once again, what we have here is basically three shitas. We have the shita of Taisus that says it is totally irrelevant when you are tayvel the keli, being that the concept of tefilas kelim has absolutely nothing to do with the concept of iser and the keli. It makes absolutely no difference. It's just as good to tayvel the keli before you kashrut as afterwards. We have the opinion of the Raiva that says lechatchila, one definitely should first kashrut the keli and only then tayvel the keli. However, the diavad, it would not be miyakev if he tayveled the keli before he kashrut it. And the opinion of the way it's mashma from the Ran, and also the way it's brought down the Seirish from the Rashba, if one toivels the keli before he kashes it, that is mi'akev bidi evet, based on the Yishalmi, based on the Pasuk, based on the Seder, as it's described over here in our Gemara, these Rishonim say that Chazal were davka makbid, that a person should first kasher the keli, and only then is it ready for tefillah. Tefillah before kashering is the equivalent of tavol v'sheretz biyadai, and means nothing. The Shach paskins that if one was tayvel his kelim before kashering, he should tayvel them again after the kashering, but without a brach. Zok the Gemara Vayta, the Braisa concludes, v'kula, in regard to all of these kelim, shenishtamish ben ad shelo yatvil, or shelo yagel, or shelo yilabe, if he used them before he tayvel them, before he kashered them, or before he was malabing them in the kelim that need libun, Tani Chada, one Tana says also that it's also, Tanya idach muta that it's muta. And the Gemara explains, loy kashas, there is no real difficulty over here, because we are already familiar with this machlokes. Haka mandiyama nois and tamlub gam, aser. The mandiyama that says that it's aser is because this is the mandiyama that says a nois and tamlub gam, even a foul flavor, after the tafshel. Haka mandiyama nois and tamlub gam is mutter. As we have already seen previously in this perek, although pots and pans absorb things that are cooked in them, and although there is a somewhat of a reality to those absorptions, they come out in subsequent cookings, it's never a tam l'shvach. If it's absorbed in a keli and it was left in the keli, it never really adds anything l'shvach. It's a pagam. It makes things taste worse. Memela, according to many shitas, this does not constitute an iser. Only a nesim tam l'shvach is aser, a nesim tam l'pagam is not aser. So b'di'eved, even if a person used these kelim without kashering it, it should not aser the tafshel. However, if you are of the opinion that even a nois and tam l'pgam is aser, then even b'di'eved, if you use the keli without kashering it to remove the previous bleus, in that case, the tashul would be aser. Taisus explains, even though the lashon of the Braisa is if somebody uses a keli before he toiveled it and before he kashered it, that's only according to the mandiyama that says that it's mutter. It's mutter if he uses it before he toiveled it. But the mandiyama that argues and says that it's aser if he uses it b'di'eved before kashering the keli is only referring to using the keli before he kashered it, or before he was malavin it, or rinsed it from the iser. As far as a new keli would be concerned, or a keli that has no bleus in it at all, hakol moidim, even the mandama that says also over here, would be moidim that it's mutter if he uses it b'di'eved without the tefillah. Tosfos does suggest, however, that it is possible, according to the mandama over here that says that it's aser, that it may be aser even if you used it before tefillah, not because there really is an iser if you use a keli before tefillah, but only as a gzeira, that if you allow him to use the keli b'di'eved before tefillah, he may come to use the keli before hagalah and before livun. But hakol moidim me'ikar d'dina, there is nothing wrong with a tafshel that is cooked in a keli that did not have tefillah yet. Frag the Gemara. Olaman d'yama nois and tam l'pgam mutter, and as previously explained, every absorption in a keli is always a tam l'pgam. Nothing tastes good if it was absorbed in the walls of a keli. So Giyuli of the Kechavim, the Asa Nachmana, Hechim Shkachasla. The fact is the Torah asked Giyuli of the Kechavim. The Torah is giving us a whole parash over here of how to take out the bleis from the clay midyan. But according to you, those bleis aren't even answer. So what is the Torah referring to? Why is the Torah saying you have to kasher the clay midyan? If it's a nice and time of gam, and you're saying that a nice and time of gam is mutter. And for the Gemara, Amar Avchia Berei Derav Hona, Lo Yaseh Torah, the Torah did not aser Ela Kedera, only the type of a pot. We go now to the top of a meralef. Only the type of a bat that is a bas yoyma, that the Yoyim Kechavim cooked that day with. However, if he cooked with it only yesterday in a chanami, the Torah did not mean to answer this. Because then it's a nice and time with gam. It is only when Imamish used the pot that day and the absorptions are still fresh, it is only then the lab nice and time with gam. Frag the Gemara, but if that's the case, mikan the elech lishtri, why do we say that Sefkel Seif, if you purchase a keli from an Eved Kechavim that was not used that day, that lechatchila you have to kasher it? Well, you're saying there should be no need for that. Let us say that even lechatchila there's no need to kasher it. Why do you only say that b'di'eved if you use it without kashering that it's kasher? And for the Gemara, Enachanam, the answer, Mr. Kaili, was not used for 24 hours. There is no problem with the Brius whatsoever, according to this man, the Yomar. However, the reason we say you have to kasher it is only because Gezeira, Kedeira, She'ein Bas Yoyma, Mishum Kedeira Bas Yoyma. We're concerned that if he's going to be allowed to use a Kaili that was not cooked on that same day without kashering it at all, he may confuse this and use a Kaili that was cooked with on that very day without kashering it. But Biatzim Bidiyavit, if he forgot to kasher a Kaili that was not used on that day, it should not answer the tafshel. What about the other Mandiyama? The Mandiyama that says Bidiyavit that it's Asr. Why doesn't he make this distinction between a Kedera Bas Yoyim and a Kedera that's Lav Bas Yoyim? And for the Gemara, he says that Kedera Bas Yoyim Nami Mivgam Pagma. The other Mandiyama says it makes absolutely no difference how long this Kaili has been standing empty, when the last time was that it was cooked. Anything that is absorbed, that is left over from a previous cooking, and is absorbed into the Kaili, even though the previous cooking was on that very same day, when this absorption comes out, will be a nice and time of God. And the Mela, if the Torah asked the clay midyan because of the absorptions, this clearly tells us that the Torah asked the nice and time of God. And therefore, lechatchila or even bidiyavet, regardless of when the Kaili was used, if somebody uses a Kaili without kashering it, then the tafshel is asr. This Mandiyomer says that a nice and time of God is asr. Now, there was a big machlokes over here between the Rishonim, and we have mentioned this already previously when we first touched on Nais and Tamil Gam, that Rashi says that according to the Mandiyama, that after a certain amount of time it turns into a Gam, and only after a certain amount of time does it turn into a Gam, that amount of time is Linas Lila, if the Kaili went overnight without being cooked. The Bnei Tam also agrees with Rashi that what we need to turn a Kaili into a Gam, to turn the absorptions of a Kaili into a Gam, is overnight. To say that the Kaili was not used on that day, but it was used the night before. However, the Re-Entices and many other Shitas are of the opinion that a Kaili is not considered nice and time of Gam, rather the absorptions in a Kaili are not considered a nice and time of Gam unless there was an Esel Ace, unless there was a complete 24 hours before the last cooking. And the Rush also passes that way, although we definitely use the Svar of nice and time of Gam as a heter for various different Shilas, that is, in most cases, Bedafka, when the pot stood empty for at least 24 hours. If it was cooked within the last 24 hours, then we have to consider the absorptions in the pot not a nice and tamal of gam, but possibly a nice and tamal of shvach. Rami lay Rav Amram l'Rav Sheshes. Rav Amram asked the Shalot Rav Sheshes. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Hashifudin v'yuas gala. The spears and the trays that are used directly on the fire, milavnon biyar, you have to make them white hot in the fire, the process of living. But the Yotanan we learned in the Mishnah Gabi Kachem, the Mishnah in the Sechtes Vachim, that Ashvud, the Yuas Kalva, in regard to the spear and this tray, even though it is used directly on the fire, Magilam the Cham, all you have to do is to kasher it in hot water. Now let us understand as follows. Kachem is a unique situation. In regard to Kachem, there is a time limit. After the time limit, the Kachem turns into Nicer and it's Aser. So whenever you use something to broil Kachem with, you have to get those Bleas out. If not, what's left inside this is going to automatically turn into Isser. Everything has a deadline in Kachem. And the Mishnah in Zvachim says the way to make sure that no Kachem is left in the utensil is to kasher it with hot water, even though it's the utensil that's used directly on the fire. Amar Leis Rav Sheshes answered him, Amram Biri, he called him affectionately, Amram, my son. Ma inyan Kachem etzel ge'ulei arv de kechavim. How can you compare Kachem to ge'ulei arv de kechavim? Hach over here, in regard to Kachem, hetele bala. At the time this meat goes into the utensil, it is 100% kosher. It's kosher. It's the greatest madrega of meat. The problem is there's a deadline. It turns into nicer. Hasam over there, in regard to Geuli Ebd Kechavim, Isurabala. Here we're dealing with a situation where at the time that this is being absorbed, it's already Isser. Memela, in regard to the Nevelis and Trefis, when it came into the pot, it was Nevelis and Trefis, therefore you have to have a leaven. In regard to the kosher being that when it came into the utensil, it was mutter, Amar Rabba, that's the Gersa, Amar Rabba, how can you answer me that that's the difference? In regard to Kachem, when it came in, it was Mutter, and in regard to the Nevelis and Trefus, when it came in, it was Aser. That's why in regard to the Nevelis and Trefus, you have to have Libun, and in regard to the Kachem, Hagol is enough. Well, mind ask me what it was when it came in. Our problem is, what's in the Kaili now? Saif, Saif, Kikapalit, what's coming out is Isura Kapalit. So, mind ask me what it was to start with. The fact is, there's Isser in the Kaili now. If the Isser is Noiser or the Isser is Nevelis and Trefus, there's Isser in the Kaili, and we have to get it out. And if it takes Libun to get it out, how can the Mishnah in Zvachim say that you can get it out with just Hagolah, with just hot water? El Amarava, the Mishnah in Zvachim is referring to something else altogether. my Hagala Nami, it's Shtifa Marika. When we say Hagala and Zvachim, we're not referring to the process of removing the Yisr. Versteitzach. If you have Basar Kodesh in this utensil, which is going to turn into Nicer, before you use this again, you have to get that Nicer out. And you have to get that Nicer out in the regular prescribed manner of getting anything out of a Keli that went in with fire. The only way to get it out is with fire, with Livon. What the Mishnah in Zvachim is referring to is something else altogether. After you were malabim the keli to get out the Basar Kodesh, there is another concept of Shtifa Merika. You have to rinse and wash this keli after the Livon. Why? Gzeiras HaKasef. Mitzvah Melech explains Rashi, the pasuk says in regard to Kachin, Imarak v'shatav b'mayim, you have to rinse it. This has absolutely nothing to do with the removal of Isser. Fashtaitzach for the removal of Isser, you need Livon. The Mishnah is referring to the Gzeiras HaKasef of Merika and Shtifa by Kachin. Rashi points out, you find many such similar concepts by Kachin. In regard to the Dam Chattas, if it's brazen a beged, you have to wash it the Makom Kaddish. Klei Cheres that absorbed Basa, you have to break it the Makom Kaddish. It has nothing to do with the removal of Isser, it's a Gzeiras HaKasef. So there's a Gzeiras HaKasef of rinsing the utensil. But this has nothing to do with the Libun. The Libun, of course, comes beforehand, and that's to remove the Isser of Nicer. Amalei Abayas, Abayas, Satarav, and Mitani. How can you compare Mariko Shtifa to Hagala? How can you say the Mishnah in Zvachim, when the Mishnah in Zvachim says that you have to make Hagala on the utensils? How can you say that refers to Mariko Shtifa? Mariko Shtifa, this washing and rinsing, but sign in, is with cold water. And Hagala, the very word Hagala implies Bechamin, with hot water. So you see the Mishnah is not referring to that Mariko Shtifa. Hot water, explains Rashi, forces out the Yisr. Cold water doesn't do that. So if the Mishnah stresses Hagala with hot water, you see the Mishnah is referring to the removal of Yisr, not just to exert the kasev of rinsing. Elam Rabayah, so what are we to do with the contradiction? Here we say in regard to the Uliakum, in regard to the Blias of the Nevelis and Trefus, which the Akum put into the Keli, you have to have Livon, if the Keli was used directly on the fire. And according to the way you're saying, Abayah, the Mishnah referring to the removal of Yisr by Kachin says Hagala is enough with the same type of Keli. Elam Rabayah, there's no contradiction. Rather, each one teaches the other. Yagid Olav Reyeh, we learn one from another. The fact is that what both the Mishnah and Zvachim and the Chazal over here are teaching us is that you have to have both. In order to remove the Yisr from the utensil that is used directly on the fire, you have to have Libun with the torch to make it white hat, in addition to Hagala. Tanahach over here, in regard to Geuli Akum, we just have Libun. But the truth is, we don't mean just Libun. We mean Libun v'hu adin l'hagala, Libun plus Hagala. And the Tanahasim Hagala, there the Tana picked one of the stages, Hagala, in regard to Kachim, but v'hu adin l'libun, the Tana means Libun as well. So in other words, what the two Mishnahs are teaching us is that you have to have both Hagala and Libun. That is the concept of Yagad Olav Reyei. What one is missing, we draw from the other. So according to Abai, there's a tremendous chiddush over here. Suddenly, the Libun that we have for Kalim that are used directly on the fire is Libun plus Hagal. Amli Rabbi Sadada said, it's difficult to accept that over here, in regard to Gilul Yakum, we should have one halacha of Libun. And in regard to Zvachim, we should have a whole different halacha of Hagala, and we're supposed to understand to put the two together and say you need both in both cases. Ihachi, if that's the case, Lisninu Lekulhu. If indeed the intention was to learn one from another, the right way to do it would be to list the need for both Hagala and Libun b'chada in one of the Mishnahs, either over here or in Zvachim, and then the listening chada b'yidach achriti. I could accept that. If either in Zvachim or in regard to Geuli Yakim, we would have both Libun and Hagala, and in the other Mishnah we would have one of them, I could ask the contradiction, and I would say, b'yatsim, you need both in both places. But Yagad Olav Reyei, learn one from another. Well, lema Yagad Olav Reyei, the yatsim we see from one place that in order to get the Yisr out, you have to have both Hagala and Libun. I, in the other place, there's just a mention of one of the processes. So, compare at least, put two and two together, you'll see you need both in both places. We can accept that. But it has to at least say someplace that you need both. But just because in Zvachim there is mention of Hagala and over here there is mention of Livon, to say that this teaches us you need both in both places, Rabbi doesn't want to accept that. Elam Rabbi, that's not a solution. The Mishnah in Zvachim and Chanami must be referring to Isser. Rabbi accepts Abaye's previous argument that the Mishnah cannot just be referring to the concept of Mariko and Shtifa, but the Mishnah also means you have to have Livon. Clearly, being that the Mishnah says hot water, the Mishnah is referring to the removal of Isser. But it seems that in regard to Kachim, there is a different process of removing Isser than we have in regard to Geuli Akum. Why? Because Kachim, Hainu Tamayu, There is a reason that by kachem hagala should be sufficient, while indeed by hagala the same type of the utensil would need libum. The Amar, he says, in regard to kachem, there is a certain advantage. Kol yoin v'yoin nasa gil l'chaveiroi. Every single day will kasha the previous day. What is the concern? The concern is that the bliyos in this utensil is going to turn into nicer, and later on when I use the utensil, that nicer is going to come out, it's going to be pilot the bliyos of that nicer into the next tashel. But let's say today's Sunday, and I cook kachem with this today. Tomorrow, Monday, it's not nicer yet. And I'm going to be cooking with this every single day. So tomorrow, when I put this utensil back into the fire to cook again with it, the fire is kashering out the previous day's bliyos. And I have no concern that the bliyos are going to come out and ask for the new tashel, because it's not nicer yet. It's only going to turn into nicer the next day, and by that time, it's already gekashered, because they had it back into the fire. Granted, this svar is going to work out shlom with a carbon shlom. It doesn't turn into nicer before 2 days. You can eat a carbon shlom for 2 days. The mela granted, mikami, then have you nicer before it turns into nicer. Let us say, Lamashal, today is Sunday. And I shecht the carbon, and I cook the kachem. I shecht the shlomim, and I cook the shlomim with this utensil on the fire. So there are bliyos now of this shlomim in the utensil. Tomorrow, Monday, the bliyos are still there, but they aren't nicer yet, because you have 2 days before they turn into nicer. And I'm already cooking another carbon shlomim with it. So by putting it back into the fire to cook the next shlomim, whatever absorptions are in the utensil are going to come out. And what's coming out is not us. So each day is going to kasher the next day, fine. Ela chatas, but what happens when today's Sunday I shecht and cook a carbon chatas? Keeping to a yoyim v'layla misachla, for a chatas all you have is the day and the night. Afterwards it turns into nicer. So by the next day, Monday, the bliyos are already nicer. So in regard to the carbon chatas, this process of self-kashering is just not going to work. Let us see the Gemara inside. Kima vashal behoid mechatas. If I cook today, Sunday, a carbon chatas, have a nicer, tomorrow this is going to be nicer. So ki hardem evashul b'lemachar oy shlamim oy chatas. So tomorrow, if I'm going to cook now, either a shlamim or a chatas, it turns out that it's already too late. For kapalit noiser de chatas dihuidna, the noiser of the carbon chatas from now, from the Sunday chatas, is going to come out the chatas v'shlamim de lemachar and the new chatas v'shlamim of the next day. So this will work if I'm cooking on Sunday the shlamim. So I have 2 days for it to turn into nicer. So the next day, when I cook with it, it's going to remove the bliyos while there's still chatas. But if today I'm cooking a chatas, by tomorrow it's already nicer. So it's too late. The cooking tomorrow is already going to be a cooking where the nicer is going to come out into the new carbon. And for the Gemara, there's a way to do it to make sure that things will cancel themselves out, things will kasher themselves out, even in regard to a carbon chatas. Let us first speak about outside. Kohanim eat the carbon chatas, Yisraelim don't. Kohanim also eat the chaz of a shaykh of a carbon shlamim. So what the Kohanim can do is as follows. Let us say they shech the carbon chatas on Sunday. And then they're cooking the carbon chatas. So what's the problem? We can't wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be too late. It's already going to be nicer. The bliyos of this chatas is already going to be nicer by tomorrow. Zakrashi, the Kohanim didn't wait. Right after they cooked the carbon chatas, they went and they cooked the chaz of a shaykh of the carbon shlamim. Automatically, right after the cooking of a chatas, they use the same utensil to cook the chaz of the shaykh of the shlamim. So what happens now? After they cook the chatas, there are bliyos of the carbon chatas left in this utensil. On that very same day, they get those bliyos out. How do the bliyos come out? With libun. The libun is the cooking of the chaz of the shaykh. It's an automatic libun. Now that the bliyos are out, what kind of bliyos are left? The bliyos of the shlamim. For the shlamim, there's no problem. You have until the next day. So in other words, your kasha was you can't wait until the next day with the carbon chatas. You can't say that the cooking itself is going to kasha the previous day because you don't have a whole day to wait. As long as you make sure on the very same day to cook the chaz of the shaykh of the shlamim right after the chatas, you automatically will have the extra day. Let us now see the Gemara inside. Amri, loy tzricha, dechimim vashel b'chatas ha'idna. Let us say today, Sunday, when I cook the carbon chatas, immediately, hadem vashel b'ha'idna shlamim. I'm going to go on that same day and cook the chaz of the shaykh of the karm shlamim. So once again, on Sunday I cook a chatas, chaz of the shaykh. The next day I go, on Monday, and I cook another chatas. So the chatas to lamacha, the chatas from Monday, and the shlamim diasmo, the shlamim of yesterday, bahadi hadadi kashalom zimnayu, because you always have an extra day with a karm shlamim. So the next day is no problem, even though I cooked the chatas the previous day, because right after the chatas I cooked that shlamim, which gives me an additional day. when yesterday I cooked the shlamim, I removed already the bliyas and the chata, so now I'm left with the bliyas of the shlamim. Now the next day I repeat the process, the hard and the vashel shlamim de lamachar. The next day I can cook a karm chatas again, and right afterwards cook again the chaz of the shaykh of the shlamim. So in other words, as long as you make sure that the last cooking each day with this utensil is the cooking of the shlamim, and as Rashi explains, that was very common because the Kehanim always had the chaz of the shaykh of the shlamim, there's never a problem. I always have this self-kashering process because I'm always assured that the next cooking is going to come before the bliyas turn into nicer. As far as the bliyas of the chatas, that's going to be removed with the cooking of the shlamim on the same day. And as far as the bliyas of the shlamim are concerned, they have until the next day. And by the next day, it's going to be cooked again. So what we accomplished is that as long as you go chatas shlamim, you can keep on going every single day. But there's still one problem. If that's the case, if this is the method that you're using to answer the contradiction, why over here, in regard to Geula Yakim, we say we need Libun, and in regard to Kachim, you say we need Agala, according to you, what you're telling me, in effect, is there's Libun automatically by Kachim. So why does then the Mishnah in Zvachim say you need Hagala? If there's an automatic Libun because of the next day's cooking, why would I have to Kachim it for? And for the Gemara of Papa, Amar of Papa says as follows. Li'olam, I will tell you that in regard to Kachim, there are no automatic self-cleaning processes. It doesn't work that way. Indeed, we have here a problem of a bli of Issa. And the Mishnah in Zvachim is referring to how to get the bli of the Issa out, and the Mishnah says Hagol is enough. So why then, in regard to Geula Yakum, when the Yidden bring the Kalim back from the Midyanim, why do they need Libun? And why does the very same type of a Kali in regard to Kachim only need Hagol to take out the Issa? Sakrav Papa, there's a factual difference. Hi, Karit. Hi, my Karit. Karit explains Rashi is a type of a crust, a type of a hardness that is formed when the absorption remains in the keli for a while. When a person purchases a keli from an Eved Kechav, the absorption is there for a while, and it sort of gets crusted in. Memel, in order to get it out, you need Libun. You have to torch it. Mashenkin, in regard to the utensils of Hegdish, which are constantly used, the absorption doesn't get so hard. And the fact is that for that, Hagal is enough. So Bimitzius, there's an Afkamin. Ravashi says, let's get back to our original teretz. Let's get back to our teretz that there is a basic distinction between Kachim and Giuli of the Kechav. Li'olam kidu amar miyakar, hacha hi teira bala, hacha hi sura bala. The original teretz was that in regard to Kachim, when the Kachim is being absorbed by the Keli, it's mutter. It only turns into nicer later on. Masha enke, in regard to Giuli of the Kechavim, as these nevelas and treifas are being cooked, it's already osir. It's osir as it's coming into the Keli. Ayat Kakashimach, we had the difficulty, Lamai Nafkamina, what the history is. The fact is, our problem is with what's coming out, not with what came in. And the Idna, the Kapalat, at the time that it's coming out, Isura Kapalat. Our problem is that the Yisra is coming out into the Tavshal. So Lamai Nafkamina, if it's Noiser, which originally was Hegdish, or if it's Nevelis and Dreyfus, which always was Asa. It's the same Yisra that's coming out. If it takes Levin to get out the Nevelis and Dreyfus, it should take Levin to get out the Kachim, the Noiser. So to Ravashi, there is a pasha to rational nafkamin. The idna de kapalat le'isa le'isura bi'ene. You can't say that nois is the same kind of an isra as nevelos and treifas are. Nevelos and treifas were also before they came into this keli. They came into this keli as isra. This noiser was never tangible. At the time that we had this piece of meat over here, it was kachim. It was not only heter, it's the greatest madregis, mamish hegdish. Now, it's absorbed in the keli, and it's the absorption that's turning into nicer. So, with a human eye, we could never even really see the iser, because by the time it's turning into iser, it's nothing more than a blia. Mamela, we're saying that this type of an iser is a much more lenient iser than the nevelos and treifas that the mitzias were already an established, tangible iser. This absorption of nicer never was. It turned into nicer as an absorption. And mamela, for this type of an iser, hagal is enough. Let us quickly reiterate the shakal of Italian. Our problem was a stira. We are saying that in regard to the Geula of the Kechavim, in order to get out the blias of the nevelos and treifas that the Yod the Kechavim uses, if it's the type of keli that is used directly in the fire, you must have a libun. The problem was that in regard to kachim, where we also have a problem that you have to kasher the keli to get out the hegdish because the hegdish turns into nicer, hagol is enough. So the Gemara wanted to first say that there's an afkamina because this is originally heter, but the Gemara couldn't find at that point a good enough svara to back that up. Remind Nafkamina what it is originally. When it comes out, it's both Issa. I have to get an Issa of Noiser out, or I have to get an Issa of Nevela out. If it takes Libun, it should take Libun in both places. So Rabbi first suggested that Be'etzim you need Liban by Hegdash also. And the Mishnah that says Hagal is referring to something else altogether. It's referring to the mitzvah of rinsing it after the Liban, which is Exeris Akasa that you have to rinse it. And Abaya asked, and the Mishnah wouldn't say Hagal. Hagal means with warm water. Rinsing is with cold water. So Abaya wanted to say that there was no contradiction, and we need both in each case. Yagadol of Rei, we should learn one from another. In Zvachim it says Hagal. In regard to us, it says Liban, and this teaches us you need both Liban and Hagal. So Rava asked, if that's the case, if it would say in one place both Liban and Hagal, and in the other place only one, I would say Mistam in the other place we also mean both. But if it never says anywhere that you need both, to go put it together and say you need both, Rava doesn't accept that. So then Rava said by Kachim, the reason that it's so much more lenient is because it is Nachman Amar Rava Baravua. By Kachim, there's an automatic Liban process, being that you cook with it every single day, so the next day's cooking is going to remove the bleias of the previous day before it turns into nicer. If it already turned into nicer, it's too late, because the problem is with the next day's cooking. What happens with the food you cook the next day, with the hegdish you cook the next day? That's getting the nicer. But the catch is that the next day's cooking will always be before it turns into nicer. So the next day's cooking is going to remove the bleias from the previous day, and the next day from that day, so it'll never have a chance to turn into nicer. So then the Gemara said that's fine and well as far as the shlum is concerned. Because when you cook a shlumim Sunday, the next day, it's not nicer yet. But in regard to a chatas, if you cook a chatas Sunday, what does it help me that you're cooking the next day with it? The next day, it's already nicer. I already have the problem. When you cook the next day with this utensil, the nicer is coming out into whatever you're cooking. So the Gemara said that what they had to do probably was always make sure that the shlumim is last. In other words, even if I would cook a chatas on Sunday, in order to avoid any problems, I would take some chaz of a shayk from a shlumim and cook with the utensil on the very same day. So the chatas isn't nicer yet. Those bleias are going to come out. What's left is the shlamim. And for the shlamim, you have to talk until the next day. The next day's cooking will be in time. It'll be before the shlamim turns into nicer. So every single day when you cook the chatas, you always make sure to follow that by a shlamim. The shlamim removing the bleias from the chatas, and as far as the shlamim is concerned, you talk have time until the next day. So the Gemara said it's all fine and well. You have developed a situation where, in a chanami, there is never any need for kashering because it self-kashers itself with the next day's cooking. You have developed a circumstance where you're always cooking it before it turns into nicer, and you have at least 24 hours. But l'maisa, there's a different problem. If this is what the Mishnah means, why does the Mishnah say you need Hagala? You shouldn't need anything. There's the automatic Liban of the next day's cooking. So then we have the final two terutim. Papa wants to be mechalik between Geula Yav D'Gichavim and Kachim, because by Geula Yav D'Gichavim, being that it isn't used every single day, it's much more crusted and harder to get out. That's why you would need Liban. And Ravashi goes back to the original teretz. And Ravashi explains that because this noiser was never tangible, when it was tangible, when it was a piece of meat, it was hegdish, and only after it was already something abstract, after it was already an absorption, only then did it turn into noiser. The male of the yeser is not so chamer, and for this, the Mishnah Zvachim says Hagal is enough. Now the Gemara goes back to discuss the details of the Liban process. The ad kama malavnon, for how long do you have to hold the torch and be malavin the item you want to kasher? Amar of Mani says, and shetashir klipasa, until a layer actually gets charred enough that it falls off. The Ketzad Magilan, the process of Hagala, how is that done? Amar Afunin, so the Afunin says, Yoyre Ketana, if it's a small pot, then betoich Yoyre Gedel, you put it into a big pot, and therefore the hot water in the big pot is going to cover the entire small pot. Now what do we do with a Yoyre Gedel with a very large pot, and it's impossible to pick up this whole pot and put it into a larger pot? Oh my, what do I do with this? How do I possibly get the water to cover all of this to kasher it? The Gemara Tashmada, who duda there was this duda, which is an unusually large type of a vat or boiler? The Avoi Beir of Kavya, or according to the Gersa, the Havu Beir of Vukva, there was by the Vukva. The Gemara Ahadulei, we turn now to Amit Beis. Gadan for the Lisha Apuma, they sort of made a rim of dough around the mouth. This way the water can rise even higher than the rim of the actual keli. Imalu Mayan, they filled this all up with water, so again the water level is higher than the original rim. At the Aschan afterwards, they boiled up this water. Amar Rabba, so Rabba said, Man Chacham, who would be so wise, Lemebet Ki Hamilse, to do something like that, Ilav Rabba Kavya, the Gavra Rabba, who is such a great person. For why is this process effective? Ksavar, he is of the opinion, which is the Makar of all Kashering, Kabarle Kach Baltai. The same way the Keli absorbs the Keli, it is in that manner that it frees the absorption. Memela, what is the problem with a big pot that you can't put into another pot? The problem is the top of the keli, the rim of the keli. How do you get the hot water over there? So ma boiloi binitzaitzas, he is of the opinion, just like the problem with the rim originally is the fact that some of the yisra cooking in the pot may have splashed onto the rim. So our palta benetzitzis. In that case, you can capture it the same way. As long as you make sure the hot water is splashing on it, it will be powerful enough to remove the yisr. Now, why then do we need the rim of dough to make sure the water level gets higher? According to what we're saying now, as long as the hot water is going to splash on the rim, that's enough. So Rashi explains, if we're sure the hot water is going to splash on the rim, there's no problem. The problem is you can't be sure. It doesn't always splash on the rim. So it's possible when we cook the yisr, it did splash on the rim. When we're cooking now the hot water to kasher the keli, things won't splash on the rim. So we won't have the kashrus. But mela, we have to bring the water level high enough, and this via the dough, to make sure that the rim is going to be covered by the water. The Ritva explains it a little bit differently. The Ritva explains that the etzem, all we need is to make sure that the hot water is going to splash on the rim, because kabali kach palta, if the rim became aser by the yisra splashing on it, it's going to become mutter by the yisra splashing on it. The problem is, the water doesn't always splash in the same place. Maybe the yisra splashed on one part of the rim, and the water that we're kashering with is going to splash on a different part of the rim. And that is the reason that we need the rim of dough. We need the rim of dough to raise the water level and make sure it covers the rim. This way, we're sure that the part of the rim that originally took the yisra, when the yisra was splashed on it, will be covered by water. But anachanami b'etzem, if we can be sure you can splash the water, the hot water, on the same place that the yisra splashed, we would not need the rim of dough. Now, along with this solution of raising the water level by putting some type of dough or tit around it, ensuring that the water covers the entire rim, another eitz is brought down in Halacha, and it's brought down in the Rosh, and Mardechai, and the Sechlet Tzachim, and that is to fill the large keli until the maximum, and then take a boiling hot rack, toss it in, and therefore the water will bubble over all sides of the rim. Now, the rack has to be boiling hot. If the rack was cold, it would rob the water of its heat, and therefore render the kashering useless. Now, the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Pesach, Simen Tov Nun Beis, Sivav, where these two eitzes are brought down in regard to kashering a large pot for Pesach, explains that these eitzes would only be effective if there is no chash that there is chametz on the outside of the keli. But let's say, for instance, we have a utensil which is used to draw up chametz from another pot, and the whole utensil gets dipped into the chametz. In this case, there isn't only yisr on the inside, there isn't only yisr on the rim, there's yisr on the outside of the keli. So any other type of kashering, excluding taking the whole thing and dipping it into hot water, would be useless. The Gemara mentioned previously that the shear of levon is until the kleep of the keli actually falls off. In Halacha, besides for this shear, we find two other shearim. One shear is until there are actually sparks flying from the fire applied. Another shear brought down is that the item has to get so white hot that if you put a piece of straw there, it would burn. Now, this is a lesser madrega of heat. To get the sparks flying requires a much greater intensity of fire. So basically, things that need libun may ikar adin have to have the greater madrega of heat. And things that are only being torched mitzat chomer, for other reasons, sometimes we can be simach on the lesser shear of the kash nisra. Zak the Gemara Vayit, in the Mishnah, we learned how sak and shafa the hita hayra, sharpen it, and with that it becomes tar. Amar avok v'bar chomer, you have to stick it into the ground 10 times. Now Rashi learns in the first lashon, this is in addition to sharpening it. After you sharpen it, you have to stick it into the ground. In the Yeshamim, Rashi says pshat, that the ne'itz of the karka does not follow the sharpening, rather it follows wiping it with a woolen cloth, being that the woolen cloth is not smooth, it is sure to remove all of the fat. As far as the absorptions are concerned, in certain cases, the ne'itz of the karka will handle that. Amar afuna b'reidu of Yeshua, however, it can't just be any type of a karka that you stick the knife into. It has to be ubekarka she'ena avuda. It has to be soil that was not worked on. The texture of this soil is much harder. Amar of Kahana adds, it is also only effective ubesakin yofa she'en bagumais, a smooth sakin that has no notches inside. The problem is that the soil is effective in drawing out the absorptions, not in anything that is be'en. So if there are any cracks where fat may accumulate there, the karka is useless. However, there are further limitations to this process. Amar afuna b'reidu of Yeshua, it's dafka lechol batzina. If you want to use this knife that the Yakum used for anything hot, then this will not be enough. You can't just stick it into the ground. If you want to use it just for cold things, then the eats of the karka will be adequate. Zakti gemara ki hadi mar Yehuda, ibarti batuvi, how the Yafid was sitting kamei de Shvar Malka, before Shvar Malka, who was the king of Persia. And interestingly enough, he was a king that knew many halachas. They brought an esrog before them as a delicacy. He cut it with his knife, ate some of it. then with the very same knife, Pasak and Varle Lubati Bartuvi. Okay, Bati Bartuvi, some of the Yashik. Afterwards, Hadar Dasa Sar Zimni Biara, he then stuck the knife into the ground 10 times to kasher it, and only then Pasak that he cut it, and Havle Lamar Yehuda gave it to Mar Yehuda. So he implied that as far as Mar Yehuda is concerned, he would have not eaten the fruit without first the knife being kashered. Unlike Bati Bartuvi, so Bati Bartuvi said, Yahu Gav Lav Ba Yisrael, who referring to himself and the king does not consider this person a Jew? To me you give with the non-kosher knife? Amalei, so the king said, Mar Kim Le Begavei, Mar Le Kim Le Begavei. Mar Yehuda is known to be Makban and Kasher. As far as you are concerned, I did not know. Now, Ika the Amri, Amalei told him, Itkar my Avadata Biarta. Rashi explains that the Persians had a custom to send Noshim to their guests. And this particular Bati Bartuvi accepted the one that was sent to him the previous night. So the king assumed that he was not so pious. Now Tosfos explains that actually this Bati Bartuvi, the Gemara in Kiddushin says, was an Eved, and because of his pride, he refused to take a Shtas Shichur. So therefore, he really had a din of an Eved. So technically, he may have been permitted to take a Shichur Knas. So Mele of the Kasha is, if he was Taka allowed, so he's not a Rasha. So why then didn't the king Kasha the knife for him too? So the Avodah Savodah explains something along the line that the king knew it isn't worth it to try to be Makshal Tzadikim in Inyani Achila. They have a special Siyata de Shemaya in Inyani Achila. Mar Yehudah, he knew, is a tzaddik. So to try to be nashlim is just not worth it. He may as well take the precautions on his own that the knife is properly kashered. But as far as Bati Bartuvi is concerned, maybe technically he avoids being over any yesurim. Maybe he's not a rasha. But one thing is for certain. By doing this, he definitely doesn't become a tzaddik. And the name of the king was not concerned that he's going to have a special siyata d'shemaya anyhow, not to be nichshol in yoni yechila. And the name of there's no point in he himself taking any precautions. Hadin Allah Sakhir Sapayal, the Salikila Masakhtis Avaidizar. The next Masakhta, Masakhtis Hayyas, it's the smallest Masakhta in Shas, and the words of the Mishnah start Hayu Bezdin. We have mentioned previously that the Yashami says the time for Tfilas Kalim is that the Kali is leaving Tumah and entering Kedusha. Shamshon Rafal Hirsch explains this as follows. Matchas, more than anything else, the metals represent the power of man. The power, what he can build and the way he shapes it, is reflected with metal. Achil, on the other hand, reflects the chelik abahem of the person, the hamis. The avoida of the yid is to make the two alike. Achil by yid has to be an avoida, just like the shaping of a matchas. And therefore the tale is bedafka makbet for tfila in clay matchas and dafka for clay suda. And we bezaicha to leave the tumah and to enter the kedusha.